cord in.
Can you believe she's standing right now? Hey, Lynn, we're standing the back stairs in the office, so if there's a lot of background noise, you'll know what the issue is.
I can't wait to see your office.
Wait, could Jason be on the other phone and I can use that headset? That way we could get rid of the noise.
For everybody on the call that is listening to me, yeah. And Michael, I've known Michael for almost 14 years now, and I have never made it to his office in Providence. And if any of you watched the videos from last year, it's an old house that's surrounded by snow during all tax season. So I'm waiting to see what it really looks like.
So, and that's all with it, Michael?
Yeah,
that's
all with it. That's the tool for PC on the web now.
Okay.
Ready?
So I'm wondering if you should grab that phone and pull it out. I don't know if we're going to be able to.
We have slides up now, Michael.
Okay.
Okay, what?
Okay! We're ready to rock!
Yay!
5 minutes late, I apologize, but taking a little time to coordinate up here. So anyway, couple things that I want to say, and there's going to be a little bit of background noise, and I apologize just because there's a bunch of people that are actually on this phone call, so everybody's got background noise, so as much as we can avoid it, we will do our best here. Couple things that I want to say. First of all, welcome to the Tax Marketing for You webinar. If we don't remember to say it later, Lynn and I want to wish all of you a happy tax year, as they say, coming up. So I don't know about you, Lynn, but our office is open on Monday, so we're actually doing training today and tomorrow for everybody, getting them ready for the tax season. So we got a lot going on. And I just wanted to tell everybody a quick story just about. If you remember, I had done a blog probably about 3 months ago about finding new office locations, And I said it's a great time to look. So in one of my offices where we're doing the training, I noticed that the office, I had moved to this office specifically because it was directly across the street from H&R Block's largest office in the state, and it was a great office. And then Liberty Tax Service moved in behind me to a really crummy office. This past year, Liberty found a better office to move in right next door to me, and then Jackson Hewitt moved in to Liberty Tax Service's old office. So everybody was playing musical chairs there. It should be an interesting season in that office there.
So you have four tax offices within, like, the same block?
I would say a block, and then directly across the street is H&R Block.
Mm.
Yeah. So not too worried about it. We'll be fine. Okay, a couple other things I want to talk about. We haven't scheduled the next webinar, but most likely it's going to be in a couple weeks from today, only because we've given you so many webinars in the last month and a half that I think we've webinared out a lot of our members here. So we want you to relax for a couple days and get your tax offices open. I do want to remind everybody that the orders for the scratch cards for the T-shirts, and also everything else, is everything due on the 6th of January, Lynn, or is it just those that are the biggest ones that are due on the 6th?
Yeah, those are the biggest, but we're trying. Donna and I actually got time scheduled for first thing tomorrow morning. We were going to do it over the weekend, but things kept coming up. to go through all these orders and get everything out. We do not want anybody upset because their postcards got delivered late, their T-shirts went there on time. So a lot of these items have financing. I just got the new banners delivered yesterday for the Refer a Friend banners, and they look great. I'm going to start shipping those out. So everything is in place to get delivered to you or to get ordered for you. We just need to finalize the orders. So if you want all your stuff on time, which I'm sure you do, get those into us like today, tomorrow, and let us get them processed so we can get everything back to you timely.
Yeah, I would definitely remind everybody, it's not only good enough to just say, hey, I'm going to put an order in. Don't also forget that you need to get together, you know, your logo, the JPEG of your logo, testimonials, things like that, the phone numbers that you're going to be using. All of that should be in place. So if you didn't put it on the order form, that we can get it from you quickly. The quicker you can turn around with the missing information, the happier you're going to be that it hits the market, and the happier you're going to be with the results. We don't want people yelling at us because things went out late, not because of us, but because you guys did not have your stuff together. If it's our fault, we'll say sorry. If it's not our fault, we'll say, remember Michael yelled at you 5 or 6 times to get this stuff together? So we'd like everybody to do as much as possible, especially over the next week or so. You got some downtime. Most of your offices are probably going to be closed anyways, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I'd love to tell you to spend it with family and friends, but I usually save that family and friends time for like May, January, you know, end of December time is Michael time to get the offices ready. That's more important right now. It's what puts bread on the table. So having said all of that, I want to welcome everybody to today's webinar, and we're going to be talking about pricing. And just to go back in time a little bit about pricing, we've done a couple of surveys over the last, I'd say, 6 to 9 months since the last tax season, asking both members and non-members about the pricing that they do in their offices. And I'd have to say one of the most shocking things that we found from those surveys has been that people do not charge enough money for the tax returns that we prepare. And I know we've talked about it time and time and time again, but I think now is really the most important time to really be concerned yourself with making sure that you put into place systems so that you will be charging enough money and you'll be making enough money. With the changes that the banking people have done, Santa Barbara, Chase, and all the other boys out there, it's going to be imperative this year to make sure that you make all the money possible on the tax prep fee and not to rely on the banking fee solely. So that led into an interesting conversation that I had with one of my clients who happens to dabble a little bit in the computer field. And he was working on a cool pricing program for a friend of his who works for one of the big boys, who I'm not at liberty to say other than he might run into this other room and beat me up if I say it. But just because I use the word liberty, don't take it to imply that I actually meant liberty. But I was using that to really throw you off track, so you actually have no idea who I actually am talking about. So having said all of that, I want to introduce to you John Cook and Jason Pimentel, and they're going to be leading you through for the next 30 minutes or so, however long it takes them, about a new cool pricing program that they've put together for your tax offices, which allows you to actually check the prices that you want to charge versus what's coming out in your tax program. And he's going to be going over some even cooler features, which allow you to track what some of your preparers are charging and the discounts that they're providing to avoid them giving too big of a discount that they shouldn't be doing anyways in the first place. So we're going to try this cool high technology here and see if these guys can actually pull it off. So I'm going to give it away to John. And John, you want to say hello to everybody?
Yep, my name is John Cook. I live here in Providence, Rhode Island, and I'm sitting with Jason Pimentel, and we are the principal developers and also business strategists that worked through putting the application itself together. So what we've got is an application called QuickPrice, and as Michael said, it's a pricing assistance tool for your tax preparation services. And this is our information on the page you see here. Our company is Moonstone Works, and this information at info@moonstoneworks would be a way to get in touch with us in the future. So just a quick overview of the business case. As Michael said, I was approached by a colleague of mine, and they had historically had the same problems that all tax prep firms have, which is a problem with price quoting, pricing in general, loose discounting, and essentially what it boiled down to is revenue was being left on the table, and they knew this, but they weren't exactly sure how to handle it. In addition, they had a they have a over 30 office franchise network, and they were having a problem controlling this across the network. So, in other words, you know, out of sight and harder to control is the case with the pricing. In addition to the preparers being responsible for some of the pricing decisions, which can be stressful, which they might not be prepared for, and also which they can give favorable pricing to acquaintances, et cetera. So in kind of going over the business case for it, we discovered that there wasn't much in place beyond just the tax preparation software that's basically consistent across tax prep firms. There wasn't a singular tool that actually addressed what happens after the tax prep price is generated. And that's what we went to work to build, was a tool to handle that side of it.
So let me ask you a couple questions. And by the way, yep. Let me just remind everybody who's on, either listening on the, who's listening on the webcast, if you have any questions, just click ask a questions, and we'll get to your questions afterwards. Just type them in there as we go along here. So is the problem that this company, and we'll call them company for the rest of this webinar
yep.
now, is the problem that they were coming across is that the price that was coming out of their tax prep software not correct, or was it that just because the price came out to, let's say, $200, that their preparers weren't charging the $200?
Yeah, basically, it's been a historical problem. They have consistently discounted across the board. So, you know, if the tax prep charge comes out at $200, they might be charging that client $115 and discounting $85. Just as an example, the discount might not be that big. The discount might not exist at all. So they had price inconsistencies across their client base in general. And then to take it further, they were having to go back after the TPS or the tax pricing software completed what it was doing, pull client files, and then look to price correctly. So they were generating numbers, and there may or may not have been a percentage increase method that they were actually using across the board. So there were inconsistencies in general, and basically,
so in other words, so they were kind of defeating their own purpose. So if they had increased their prices by, let's say, 5%, but yet discounting by an extra 5% over last year, they were basically killing off their increase in price.
Yeah, essentially the bottom line is they were leaving revenue on the table. They were, if you want to call it leaving it on the table or giving it away in the form of a loose discount, that's essentially what was happening. So they knew that this problem existed, but they didn't have any tool or any way that was effective in handling a proper rollout of streamlining the pricing across their network.
Okay.
So this is Jason. There are several things that this came together to address, and that was giving a guideline in terms of what discounting should be applied. It looks up the previous year's data for that client and helps ensure that the discounting doesn't surpass what was given the previous year, and it also allows for building in a basic percentage increase so so that you can kind of wrap all those things together and give the preparer one place to punch in a number that they got out. It will sort of help maintain the relationship with the customer by still establishing some continuity in discounting, but it will kind of help gently nudge that pricing back in the direction where it should be, so that over time it actually helps wean them out of that mentality of constantly discounting. It's a good helping hand.
So give everybody an example of what that actually means in like layman's terms. Even though we're accountants and we know our numbers, when it comes to the technical part of it, I think some of us stumble around sometimes and we say, okay, yeah, we understand, but then we don't really truly grasp what it is. So talk to us, like, give me like a real world example, Jason, of what you meant by that.
Sure. Let's take a for instance that my client John Doe has been coming to me for a number of years to get his taxes done. I run things through the tax preparation software, and I get a price of $200 to do his return. Now I know that I've given him discounts in the past. He's longtime associate, so I know I'm going to give him some kind of discount. I don't remember what I gave him last year, so I've used the same software that I used last year, so we know that there isn't really a percentage increase in that cost built in. So chances are his taxes generated a price of around $200 last year, but I don't know. I don't have that handy. It requires a little bit of digging to go back through the file to look for that. What this would allow for, since all of that data has been imported, I punch in that $200, the system takes care of looking up his last year data, realizes that he had already been given a $50 discount the previous year, but we wanted to factor in a 5% increase overall. And what this does is it very quickly looks at last year, looks at that discount, looks at the overall increase that we're trying to plan for, and nudges that price back in a direction so that the discount's a little bit less. It factors in that percentage increase that you're looking for and just spits out a number, what to discount and what to charge. So in almost instantly, without having to go look up anything on my own, I can just see, all right, John, here's what we're going to what the system comes up with, and this is the discount that I'm going to give you, so here's your number.
All right, cool.
And actually, there's a demo in the presentation that'll speak directly to what Jason just explained,
okay.
And that's coming up. So, anyways, we'll move on here.
That's your nice way of saying, Michael, hold your horses and stop asking so many questions so we can move on. All right, go ahead.
Yeah,
Lynn does
yeah,
that
I think
to
it's
me also. That's okay.
Well, the nice thing is showing the demonstration takes less time than it took me to describe it, so it's much more powerful.
Okay.
Right, and essentially, as Jason alluded to, it's a web-based application that consolidates data. So all your data is in one place, which is an extremely powerful thing, because what that allows a preparer to do, or an administrator, or anybody in the office that has a login, is to get real-time information as far as where you are in the tax year, seat-of-the-pants pricing, or pricing decisions that a preparer might be forced to make with a client sitting across from them. That doesn't completely go away, but the pricing tool functions as a guideline of what should be charged and something that can be referred to rather than the preparer having to calculate a number in real time right in front of them. It's accurate. It's secure, which is a big concern with any web application. It's easy to use. And it works equally as well for a large organization with multiple offices as it would, a small structure with maybe a single office and, 500 clients or 1,000 clients. So also, as Jason said, the information that's calculated for the current tax season is going to be based on last year's pricing. So not only last year's pricing that came out of the tax preparation software, but also what was actually charged, what was discounted. And it does limit the discount to no more than the previous year. And what it is configured to do is phase out the discount over time. And it does that by integrating a percentage increase that can be organizationally set either by location or at an overall franchise level or an overall parent company level. And what the real goal was, what they really wanted to do was gently, almost on a linear basis, kind of increase the revenue that they're retaining rather than, you know, have pricing that's kind of all over the board. And one nice thing about the tool itself is you can integrate in a 0% increase. You know, we're in a tough economic time right now. So if you just wanted to consistently make sure that revenue, you know, didn't decrease, maybe you set it at 0 or 1% or 2, that's possible. Or you can be more aggressive by location if you have, you know, urban versus rural, whatever the case may be. Or if you consistently have offices that generate more revenue than any other location in your network. So what happens in the background, and we're going to keep this at a very macro level today, is there is a sequence of configured calculations in the background that use this historical data with the tax preparation software's suggested price. And it runs through these calculations and essentially will gently nudge the price. When the calculation is complete, it actually takes the data and stores the data in a database, a central location, which would be by client, by location, by tax year, and also the, as Michael said, the tax preparer that prepares the client or prepares the return for the client is referenced in that database feed as well. So the reports that will come up in the demo will kind of quickly touch on that. But, you know, from an audit perspective, it's a great way to take a look at what's going on even in a preparer level. And that's the third bullet, which is the reporting. Since the data is centralized and consolidated, it allows you to look at your data in real time. So where you're at with the tax season revenue-wise, discounts given, that kind of stuff. Or if you wanted to look at particular preparers' activity, you can look at that.
Could you look at year-to-year comparison? Like on the 30th of January, this is where I was last year with revenue, this is where I am this year?
Yeah, the reporting is configured to allow date ranges to be specified. So what it'll do is it'll go back to the tables that are actually storing the data, and you can theoretically pick any date range that would be within you know, the amount of client information that you have in the database. We'll show it to you. There's not side-by-side or dual reporting per se. There is a report that compares last year to this year, but we essentially just have that comparison report for those 2 years. So, in other words, there aren't multi-year reporting ranges because basically the comparison between last year and this year is how the calculations are working themselves, and that wasn't a requirement with what we had built.
And one note there that's worth bringing in is that we've introduced a baseline set of reporting that is based on what we know is requested previously, but it doesn't get rid of any data. So the potential is, should there be a requirement for a customized report, it's something that can be looked at on a case-by-case basis, and if there seems to be a real demand for it, then we can probably work something out.
I would assume that the big problem, at least initially, would be if you really wanted 3 years' worth of data, is you'd have to import all that data, first of all, because you're starting the program from scratch.
Exactly.
Least, if nothing else, you want to bring in last year's data just so you have last year versus this year. There's twice as much work, though, if you're going to bring in the last 2 years' worth of data versus just the past year's data. And every year you're going to put in there, it's going to be exponentially more work because it's still the same process that has to happen. By the way, you notice we got all the construction going on and then all the police cars going on. I you know what, John, Jason, do you guys bring this all this noise with you?
No, we're on the right side of the law.
Oh,
but,
okay.
You know, Michael, you bring up a very important point that will probably come up later. I think it's in the notes. This is a very specific tool. It's not meant to replace accounting systems that might already be within an office, or systems that are holding complete client information such as street address, full social security numbers. It's not a billing tool. It's essentially a very specific kind of companion tool to the tax pricing software. And in that role, it does do a fantastic job of consolidating data, but it's only really consolidating pricing data. At this point, there's not a point to replace an existing system with this. It kind of is a companion to existing tools. So to talk about incrementally adding data, we would definitely have to have last year's data, and then going forward, it would use that for the equations. If you wanted to bring more data in, we could. But the real value is in the calculations itself and the reporting as well. So as Jason said, if there's a need for a report that shoots out a graph year by year, you'll get that if you keep using the tool. We don't have that report right now, but we could actually feed historic data back as far as you would have it, per client.
All right, great.
And it's actually one of the reasons we pursued going with a web-based tool like this is that should there be a number of clients who are requesting a particular report, we develop that report and it actually will then simultaneously be available to everyone using the system.
Is that your question, Lynn?
No, that was all good information, but my question was more of I have a goal for what I want for an average dollar per return this year, but
yep.
If you do bank products during the end of January, I'm always like $60, $70 ahead of that goal, and that's false because you collect more money from people who file earlier just by pricing. So I thought it would be to my advantage to see if I'm $10 over last year by the end of January to make sure that I'm staying on track to hit that year-end goal. That's what I was thinking of.
It does, Lynn, and when we show the report, there are summary data columns for what you're actually charging and what you're discounting, and then that is – In line in that summary column is also last year's information. We don't have percentage increases built into the report as of right now.
Well, I can tell by looking at those numbers if I'm on target or not. That's all I'm looking at is a way to
right.
be
so,
on.
So I guess you're saying you can run a report January 1 through January 30th last year versus this year, and just you get whatever, 100,000 versus 120,000 on a report.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly.
And that's what she's looking for. Perfect.
Yep. Okay.
Well, then apparently yes, we can do that.
See, we're not technical people. We're simple people. We need simple answers, not technical answers.
Anyways, so the answer is yes.
Okay. Perfect.
Yeah. So another thing that that is kind of a indirect benefit of the tool is one of the industry norms seems to be acquisition or gaining clients by acquisition. And if you were to integrate, as long as you have the data available, you could integrate in an entire group of new clients into your system and already have their pricing history available and ready. So that's assuming that you can, get the data in a spreadsheet format and that the data is available. So, that allows you to have a little bit of flexibility with your new clients if you were to have them, or it makes integrating them into your system possibly a little bit easier. And once again, on the third bullet, you don't want to lose clients by shocking them with a large price increase. So what the tool really does is focus on retention as one of the main factors. So the discount, if they got a giant discount last year, it's still going to integrate in a discount, but it will be no greater than last year. And based on their complexity or their tax preparation software suggested charge, the discount will slowly be brought into control, and then it'll work towards eliminating it.
Okay, so that brings up a good question. So, all right, so now let's say Joe Blow or John Doe, I think that's the name we're using today. John Doe actually has a more difficult return this year because whatever, he sold some stocks and I had to go, I had to call the IRS for him and I had to go track down his stockbroker and blah, blah, blah. Now I need to charge him an extra $200 because he wasted a lot of my time and he pissed me off.
Sure.
So now my price, let's say, might come out of my machine at $400, whereas last year I only charged him $200.
So
What's the program going to say to me now?
That's a very good question, and that point would eventually come up. What the machine says is that this person had a change in complexity. So that change in complexity does not mean that you would all of a sudden have a discount that would grow because complexity changed. The formula looks at that as not necessarily an anomaly, but as Jason said earlier, the client's taxes are probably going to be close to the same level they were last year, unless something like this happens. And the tool would treat that as a change in complexity, thus a valid reason to charge them more. So rather than allowing a larger discount or saying, well, we charged $300 last year, this time his tax was $500, you know, we have to charge him $300 and give him a $200 discount, or we charge him $315 and give them, you know, what, a $185 discount. It won't do that. It'll look at that as a valid charge. And once again, this application is a suggested pricer. So it's not a hard and fast rule. If it's a client you can't afford to lose and you know you're going to have a problem if you charge them, even if it's valid, you know, you can override it. But, you know, the tool looks at that as a legitimate charge. And that That was one of the things that the client that we built this for really wanted to eliminate.
Okay. So, but will it tell me – okay, so let's use their 300 and 500 example. That 300 example, I might have still given him a $40 discount last year. Now, I want to still get a 5% increase. So will it say to me, listen, you should charge this guy a $35 discount on the $500 to be – in perfect proportion to what it was last year, because I have a valid charge because it was a lot more complex.
Right.
I did give him a discount, but I'm going to give him less of a discount because I'm trying to raise my prices by whatever, subsequently 5 or 10%.
Exactly. Yep. That's the first thing that it does, is the percentage increase goes directly against the discount.
Okay.
And then it works forward from there.
Okay. Perfect.
Okay. So here's our demo. And if it's too small or it can't be seen, we can try to enlarge it a little bit. Let's see if we can.
Well, you won't be able to see it on your screen, whether it only goes up on the webcast. So if you can get it to play, then it works.
Yeah, that's going to be the problem here. Let's see if we can do that. I don't know if it's actually going to allow it to play.
Hold on.
Let's see here.
Technology.
Yeah, let's see you. Hold on, we're calling in the pro here.
No, it's not. I couldn't play it even before.
Let me put this on hold for a second.
Do you want to go to the other presentation? Is that what you're trying to do?
Well, what I was going to try to do, and we can probably post this on your website.
Yeah, we can put that up on the website. The little demonstration.
So what the demo essentially was going to do is just be a quick walkthrough of what it would take to prepare a price. And it looks like we're going to have a little bit of a problem with the software here. Let me see if I can. Okay, bear with me here for a second.
By the way, just remind you guys, if you have questions, start posting them now so we can get to them.
Just give me an option. I don't think it's going to do that.
Now,
well, maybe the best thing to do, Michael, is
We'll post the demo up on the website in the next 48 hours or so. We'll put the replay up there with the demo up on the taxmarketingforyou.com website, so you'll be able to play that and take a look at what it looks like in actual real-time presentation. Why don't you describe it? I've actually seen it in personally, so I know what it looks like, but it's fairly straightforward.
It is. And, you know, just using the picture that you see right there on the webinar, we've stripped the interface down to be as simple as possible. And what ends up happening is a preparer would have a login that would be assigned by an administrator within your network or within your organizational structure. When they log in, it takes them immediately to the screen where they would select a client, select a tax year, select a location, and then enter the price that was generated by the tax preparation software. They click calculate. It runs the calculation, does show a comparison to last year's price, and then saves it to the database. And that's it. There are no other steps. There's nothing else that gets in the way. It's a simple process. Jeff here in Michael's office has ran through the demo. He's a tax preparer. And we ran it by him as we were developing it, and it's gotten to the point where he likes it, and it's very simple and easy to use.
Jeff likes anything that's technical that gives him more information.
Yeah. The important thing is you know, the tax preparers are all smart people, but they're short on time. So what we had to do was give them as much functionality as they need with the least amount of distraction.
Yeah, and I think you've accomplished that. That's exactly what you've done. You made a process that you could probably do this whole thing in less than a minute, maybe even 30 seconds. Definitely for a returning client, it's really quick. A new client, how long would you say it would take? 2 minutes maybe?
If that.
Yeah.
So, you know, basically it's a fast process. It's a powerful tool. And, you know, just the ability to execute and get in and out of it because their time is so important, that's where the real benefit lies.
Well, and I think the other real benefit of this is your money on the table. And the difference, and you told me this story, and maybe I got it wrong, but I remember you telling me that their big point, the big company that had hired you initially to do this, that their big point was that even if it was just an extra $2 or $3 per return,
right,
was going to make the difference between a good season and a really crummy season, because at their volume, which was thousands and thousands of returns, $3 was, you know, we're talking about six figures worth of additional revenue.
Right, and there's a slide that basically talks about the next one. As it turns out, they ended up saving, you know, almost $20 per client, or I guess retaining money that would have been left over or money that would have been discounted, and it ended up being, you know, over those 12,000 returns, $240,000. So, you know, on a very granular level, they are small amounts, and for some, you know, some clients you might not have any savings at all. I mean, if they were not discount eligible, you know, you would get your desired percentage increase, and that would be that. But essentially, this is what it boiled down to for them, which was great because all the tax preparers shared in a larger bonus, and, you know, that was money that would have just been given away.
I mean, you can see with even just the average of almost $20 per client, even if you only process 1,000 returns, that's a whole lot more revenue that otherwise would be given away. And you can be pretty confident that if each person were paying on average $20 more for their return, that's still within that amount that's not going to likely cause damage to the relationship that you have with your clients.
Well, and I'm a big believer in how you say it, and you just said something that I really liked. If you explain this to your employees, not that we're watching you so you don't discount clients too badly, but that we're trying to keep our dollar per return at a certain level, and that's going to affect your bonuses and the profitability of the office, and get everybody on the bandwagon and everybody to share in the thought that why give customers a discount over and above what they're entitled to? Let's go ahead and make the company more profitable, and we share in that profit. I think it would be a real positive way of getting everybody on board with the program.
And you know what, Lynn, that's essentially what ended up happening, which is, you know, nobody wants to be policed. But when it equates to more dollars in your pocket or the possibility that, you know, it's a win-win for everybody, it was a less difficult rollout, let's just say that, because, you know, I've been doing this for a while, and not everybody embraces something new, especially when it requires them to do an extra step or a little bit more work. But it ended up being a pretty good thing, and, you know, the results are what they are.
I think the other thing is, you know, sometimes our preparers tend to forget that, you know, there's an incentive for them to see the profitability of the company come to fruition. And they think to themselves, ooh, I'll be nice to this person and I'll give them a bigger discount and just let them walk with a cheaper return. And the client doesn't necessarily even ask for that, you know, discount, so to speak.
That's exactly right. Yep.
But yet in their mind, they're thinking, oh, I'm doing something nice, but it's probably not even getting appreciated, but rather it's almost one of those things that now the client comes to rely on that. They assume that they should be getting that big of a discount all of the time, and they're actually trying to lower your prices every year as opposed to allowing you to increase your prices every year.
Yeah, it devalues the relationship, and that long-term can actually have a much more detrimental impact on your relationship with that client.
Exactly.
I've actually heard preparers apologize for the price.
That's what I was just going to say. There's a psychological aspect to pricing, not only in taxes but in anything. And essentially, the nice thing about this is it gives a guideline.
So it's not up to them, that it's not their decision. It's this is the best I can do for you type attitude.
Right, exactly.
The other thing is, Lynn, do you want to talk a little bit about the bank pricing and how that actually affects this pricing for this year?
The difference with the bank pricing for this year is that all the banks have gone to filling out the application, and a percent for the product. You have to a loan percent, so that when you see APRs of 350%, which is what we saw in the early 90s, those are gone because otherwise Congress was going to regulate our business. So what their banks have done is they're charging like $30 to $35 quotation fee, which is a set fee for every return, and then they're doing a percentage on the loan amount for Rails. So because of that, there is no money in there for kickbacks or bonuses for us, the taxpayers, like there has been in the past. But there's also no bonuses in there for the banks, for the software companies. So most of your software companies are now charging, and you'll see that charge on every one of your clients' check, a technology fee, because they're the ones, the software companies are the ones now that have to work with banks in order to make the bank products work your clients. So you're going to see on your bill a application fee, a percent of the in interest percent, and a technology fee. So there's going to be three separate fees that will show up on every check stub. And those three fees together on a $5,000 loan product are going to be less than what they were last year. So that gives you the opportunity to make sure that you're charging your clients, because you're on the hook. The way I explain it to my clients is that I'm doing all the work. I'm sending their return to the IRS. Their return is filed. My time and knowledge is in that return, whether I get paid or not. And for the people who pay me up front, cash, check, or charge, is a lower fee than the people who I'm actually financing my fees and waiting for them. So I add an extra additional fee to our business onto what the banks are charging, and I can do that and monitor that within this program as well.
Well, the other thing I would say about that is, and for those of you out there about fees, is don't forget, especially if you're getting into the bank product market, is just because you offer bank products and the prices look so attractive, you're going to have bad debt on the bank product market. There will be, historically, I've run over 10 to 15% of bank products that I never get paid for each season. So just don't forget that fact, and you know that's not a good reason to keep discounting your prices. You got to charge the people who you can charge, because there'll be other people who you're never going to get the money anyway. So don't worry about it.
Yeah, and that you have to build that into your pricing. And last year they didn't allow the application fee within the pricing. This year they are. Santa Barbara and Chase are both allowing that this year, as well as electronic filing fee. So just be careful when you're setting up your pricing within your software to make sure that you're utilizing every tool that they give you to charge.
Okay. And by the way, I'm just going to take it aside before I give it back to John. Just keep sending in your questions. I'm getting all your questions, and we're going to get to them, too, as soon as we finish this up in a couple seconds here. So.
John, okay, so the yep. So the next slide has to do with our pricing structure. And what we've got here is almost a threshold pricing. The column on the left, excuse me. The column on the left is the number of returns that would be processed, which the database actually will record the amount of transactions that occur. So the base fee starting at $250 doesn't mean that you would pay an extra $399. The difference, if you would go over $5,000, you would owe the difference, and then we charge the per month charge for 4 months only. So the per month charge corresponds to the tax season. So there's not a residual bill that would come in for the entire year, and that's at a $99 level. And what we're planning to do
slow down. Make sure that everybody understood that. So,
yeah.
So I want to make sure everybody understood that. So you're only charging them a monthly fee for 4 months, but
right.
They have the use of that software for 12 months of the
exactly.
Year.
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
So
that's a big deal. So.
Yep. There's reporting capability. They would not have a shutout or anything like that. It would be for the full 12 months.
Okay. Okay. All right, so that's cool. So it's only 4 months during tax season when you're using it the most that you have it, but you get it all the year round, and you guys will continue to maintain all that information year round anyways.
Exactly. Yep.
Okay.
The data's available anytime after tax season. And you might have clients that file extensions or any kind of a late tax filing type situation, and the tool would still be available for them.
All right, great. Okay.
Yep. So, and that the 4 months, we would set up a billing on a per client basis and handle all that after the fact.
So, essentially, in a nutshell, you could do up to 1,000 returns, and your total cost to use the tool for the entire year would be just under $650. Anywhere up to 5,000 returns, and it would be around just under $800. So we try and keep the cost for the tool very competitive. It's not, and it's spread out over the course of your season, so that we don't front load it with a big fee, and then that actually carries over your access for the rest of that calendar year, and then for subsequent years, should you choose to continue using the tool, there's a significant discount available for resubscription for following years, because we also won't have to do new data imports every year, because we'll already have all your data maintained.
Now, I want to let everybody know who's listening in that one of the reasons that the price is so inexpensive to get in this year is because obviously what John and Jason are looking for is they're looking for success stories out of this. They're looking for people to say, hey, I used it, it was great, and I saved subsequent five-figure amounts of money at was spending, less than $1,000 on this piece of software. So this is this year's price. I will tell you that if you're thinking on the fence and saying, oh, I might wait another year, this is not going to be the price if you're starting out first time next year. If you are somebody who signs up this year going forward, you're happy as go lucky because the price will actually might be even less than what you're paying for this year. But for those of you who don't go in this year, it's going to be a whole different deal. So am I saying that correctly?
Yeah.
Okay. Lynn, did you want to you had a question, didn't you, Lynn?
Yeah, this is the first year you've offered this to anybody other than who you created it for?
Yeah, this is our initial offering.
Okay.
Yep.
Which explains what Michael just said about the pricing. It's like this is the first time. It's been tried and true because the other company that you wrote it for is using it, but this is the first time you've offered it to independents, so we're getting the benefit of being the newbies.
Right.
But what I'd like to let everybody know is while you're getting to try this out for the first time as newbies, it's not that the person who paid to help get this developed is not continuing to still use the same software program. They're still on board using it because they've been really happy with it. And I think if I remember correctly, there's a couple other of their friends who are actually going to be using it also. Some rather large players. So if you see the bigger numbers there, that's the reason that those big numbers are there is because there are some players of that size that are going to be using it. I would also say that for myself, as you mentioned, Jeff loves this program. We are going to be introducing this program in the office because, I mean, I look at the software the same way that a lot of you guys would be probably looking at the software. Okay, how much is it going to cost me to get involved in this thing? How much time and effort are my people going to need to actually get a handle on it? And number three is, what do I think it can produce in additional revenue? And there's no question that I am concerned about my fees going down. I want my fees going up this year. And I do worry about my preparer sometimes giving too big of a discount and not seeing the beauty of charging a little bit more as opposed to a little bit less. Every dollar that goes down is just another dollar coming out of my pocket. And I really see this software as a no-brainer in terms of an investment process. I can't imagine that I'm not going to make multiple times return on my investment for the software. So that was my little commercial out of this. Did you guys have another slide still?
Yeah, we do. Essentially, okay. It's just a little bit of information of what it would take to get started. And it's really basic client information, first name, last name, and just the last four of the Social Security number, which...
Now, does this work with any tax software product?
Basically, if you can get it out of your either tax software system or your accounting system, and what I mean by that is it would be a data dump out of whatever you're using for either billing or for charting what you're actually charging your customers.
So like into an Excel or something?
Yeah, that's exactly what we use. It's what's called a delimited file or a flat file. We would just put the data in a format like that, and then we can upload it into our database. And what we would need is, you know, that client information so we can identify the client, and then the actual price and discount, if they had one, for the previous year, and then also the tax preparation software fee that was charged. And then if you have multiple locations within your either franchise or business unit, we would need those locations so we can track charges going forward by location. And
right,
okay. Yep.
Go ahead. Finish up and I'm going to...
And then what we have is a little bit of flexibility with the percentage increase, which I alluded to earlier. Within the application, the system administrator would actually set it up before the tax year would start, and the percentages would be loaded either by location or by office, and overall network. And what happens is the tool looks at the percentage if there's one entered by location, and if it's higher than the overall, I think it. it's either higher. It's higher. Yeah, if it's higher than the overall percentage, it will charge that number. So, in other words, it allows a little bit of flexibility with how you're looking at, you know, demographics within.
So we would need to tell you what increase we want for each location, or just an overall increase from last year.
No, you can actually set that up and change it, and you can actually change that. And it can actually be changed during the tax year. In other words,
we could have one for bank during peak, and then we could have another one for the rest of the season,
right.
And then
we could
a third one right at the last, you know, the last
exactly.
week in April.
Right, yeah.
So
you have access to that as the site administrator. There are two different levels of administrative access. There's you as the business owner, and then there's the tax preparer. And so they only have access to certain features. You're allowed to actually configure a bunch more so that you can set those percentages and change it when you need to, and that will then be immediately effective as soon as the next return is priced.
That's a good feature. I like that.
So let me transition a little bit here to a couple things. First of all, if you're interested in this software, they do not have an order form per se online. We will have one available for you. So if you're interested, here's what you need to do. You need to send us an email that you're interested, just like we did with a holiday loan. Same idea. Send an email to info@taxmarketingforyou.com. Do I spell this out again and screw it up and get Donna to yell at me? info@taxmarketingforyou.com. Or if you go to your email and probably hit reply, you'll come probably right back to info@taxmarketingforyou.com. And just give us your name, your phone number, and that you're interested in the software package. And we will get you the details going forward. The other thing is, if you are not a member of Tax Marketing for You, why aren't you a member of Tax Marketing for You? Okay? You need to sign up to be a member to be able to get the pricing that's shown up on this webcast. Okay? If you are not a member, it is not your pricing. This is only for Tax Marketing for You members. And if you haven't joined, I don't know, look on the website. I mean, it's free, so join up already. Get your butts moving here. We've got a lot going on. So let me do this, unless you guys have something else, because I wanted to try to get to some questions and answers so I can get everybody off the webinars as quickly as possible. If you have questions, hit me up now. Let's go backwards on the questions here. Billy, how you doing, man? Billy from Billy Barton. Is the price per office? And I can answer that. The answer is no. This is a one price. It's based on the total number of returns, not based on the number of locations. So if you had 50 locations, it wouldn't make a difference.
Right.
See, I did one all by myself. Corwin from Topeka. This is an interesting question. So does the product understand what my competitors are charging so I know how much I can increase and remain competitive?
No. The product does not.
Now, what I would say to you on that one, Corwin, which brings up a good point, which is, and we talked about this last week when we were talking about the mystery shopping on the phone is your most important tool, is if you do the mystery shopping part and call up your competitors and find out what they're charging, then you could use that information to put into this program to be competitive with them and then increase your prices.
Yeah, and essentially because the pricing is based on whatever the tax preparation software spills out as your initial number, and those various amounts per form or whatever time value you want to put for a preparer are preset. That's, you know, it's a tool, it's a companion tool. It's not a tool that will, you know.
But I think his question is a valid question, which is if you know H&R Block's charging $200 for doing an EIC and a daycare and a basic 1040, and your price is only $150, then obviously the answer is, you know, increase your price 33% to get to the same price as them, or increase it 25%, and you'd still be undercutting their price. So I think if you do the mystery shopping aspect, you know, by calling your competitors and comparing apples to apples, that would really help you to determine what increase you want to put in there. And I think a lot of our members don't do the mystery shopping to find out what the competitors are charging. So they kind of do it willy-nilly, and that's how come they wind up charging too little, because they're afraid of charging too much.
Right.
Okay. Let's get Gary Johansson from San Diego. Hi, Gary. Where does the software pick up the database? Does it integrate with all tax software products to pick up names and fees, or does it have to be entered manually? Let me just talk about this a little bit. I can talk at least on the TaxWise aspect of it. For those of you who have TaxWise, TaxWise does export this information, but it doesn't export it using Excel. You can get, you can get it as an Excel program, I believe, also. But most of the time, a lot of the data that you want is through Crystal Reports. In our office, we use TaxWise, and I can't say this definitively without talking to my main guy, Jeff, but I think if we set up our own Crystal Report to dump the data into, it might be a Crystal Report that we can give to our members who use TaxWise to do the exact same thing for their offices with very little change that would have to be done on your part. But don't quote me 100% on that, but I would be fairly certain that can be done for you guys. And that's not something we would charge you for. That's just we would give that to you as a free service, assuming that it takes actually no work on Jeff's part to make it work for everybody out there. If that's not the case, I guess I'll renege on that offer, but I don't think that's going to be the case.
Yeah, and there will be some there'll be setup support. We have a template that we use for getting the data into the database itself. So we can deliver a file example of what information would be needed, and either an IT person within your office, Gary, or looking through the user manual for whatever tool you're trying to export the data from, there should be a way to get either a delimited file, a flat file, or a text file that we can then handle from there. As long as we would get a raw dump that we could, that we could look at and say this is going to work, that would be all we would need.
Okay.
Hey, guys, there's a lot of us who are technology challenges, how I like to refer to it. Do you have a support department that is going to help us if we buy this and we're clueless as how to get it all set up right for you? Or who would we call to get help with doing this?
Well, you'd be dealing with us directly. And the good news is the export process is generally, in most platforms, really pretty basic. And in most cases, if we don't have a direct answer, Michael and his crew here probably have more familiarity with the tax program specifically that you're using. We'll be able to get your questions answered. And the good news is it's generally just a one-time issue in order to get that data out. There's not a lot of stuff that we need, and it's in a fairly straightforward format. So it's generally something that takes you maybe half an hour to do, probably no more than that, and with minimal help from us.
The other place for tech support that we might be calling on if need be, depending on what your software program is, obviously the tech support that's provided by your software program.
Right.
Those are the kind of reports that they do provide for you, and if they haven't already provided it for you, they can create it for you. And last night I had an issue with something on our tax program. They came into my computer, and I walked away and got my dinner, and I came back, and they had already done everything that I asked them to do, and it was about as simple as that. So I have no idea what they did, but that doesn't matter.
You got what you needed. That's what matters.
That's all that matters. And, we're paying for their customer service also, and I'm sure a lot of them would be happy to help you with it. Jessica from Marietta. I take that back. Jessica is from Metairie, Louisiana. I know that place. Is that John David's place? Her question is, and I'll give you this one, Lynn. What would be a reasonable percentage increase from year to year?
The franchise that used the tool last year used a 5% increase, and the percentage increase could be whatever you feel wouldn't jeopardize your client relationships.
We're going to be using 5% also as our number. Lynn, what number are you going to be using?
We go between 5% and 10%, and I tried to get like $10 to $15 more every year, And just like he said, because of the recession, there's some people who are going to go on the lean side of that this year. But as in everything else, recession or not, the price of milk, the price of bread all went up this year. So to go up a couple dollars every year, I think is sort of expected.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things where you're just like any service, if you don't have at least some nominal increase every year, it gets harder and harder. So if you don't at least keep up with a general cost of living increase, then you're just making it even more difficult for yourself every year. So, I mean, 5% is probably a good minimum.
But I would say even if you raised it just even 3%, if you think about it, 3% on a $150 return is still going to get you $4.50, which doesn't sound like a heck of a lot of money, but $4.50 times 500 returns,
right.
Well, that's extra money in your pocket at the end of the year. So, you know, I wouldn't be doing it less than 3%, that's for sure. And I would rather my increase be too high and I adjust later if I need to, as opposed to going too low and then try to increase it then. So,
well, I'm going to tell you a story just to let people know how dumb I am. Like 2 years ago, I went ahead and I thought I was raising my prices about $10 per return. That was my goal. And you just spread it out over a couple dollars on the A, a couple dollars on the IC, because I wanted to get about $10 more per client. And then I ended up using, that was the first year I used the scratch card, so I had the scratch cards, which were a little bit higher discount than I had used in the past. And then I always give my previous clients the best discount ever because I appreciate that they come back year after year. So they always get whatever the highest discount is for new clients, I always get a buck or two more to the previous clients. So I thought I was raising my prices by $10. By the time I gave away all my discounts, at the end of the year, my dollar per return went down by $2. I thought my husband was going to shoot me. So, and it's not that that was my intent. It's that with all the discounts and everything else I was doing. Now, I made more money because I did more returns, but this is what this tool is for.
Right.
So if that was your intent, that was my intent, and I sort of like sabotaged myself without knowing it, and I got too late into the year before I became aware of it, because we have a tendency to be in our business instead of on it. And at the end of the year, I was fine, but I was not as fine as I had hoped to be. And I think that's the story of why you need this and why this can be beneficial to you. So things like that don't happen.
All right, let me just go quickly. By the way, remember, if you're interested in this program, I want you to send an email to info@taxmarketingforyou.com. All right, James from Marietta. How do you base the tax preparation fees? Is it by schedules you prepare or time spent on the return? I think 99% of us charge by the schedules we prepare, with maybe a time additional charge if it takes longer than it should have for the schedules that we're being charged for. So, William, you know what, Lynn, I think we need to deal with this question because I've seen it a couple times today, and I'm sure we've been getting tons of emails with the same question, and this is a little off topic but pertinent, which is what's going to happen with SBBT this tax season? I have no other tax bracket. Hey, by the way, how are you doing, William? What can we do? So what's the SBBT story as we speak this second?
As of this minute, SBBT was – I was told actually by – insider information that I have with friends at SBBT, I think most of you know that I used to work with them, that they were planning on being sold in February. And that's why they've had a lot of limits and a lot of trouble getting things accomplished this fall, is because they're in that mode of getting everything in line to make this sale happen. They announced on Christmas Eve that the sale is taking place before the end of this year. Which was a surprise to me as well as to everybody else. And I talked to them yesterday, and the thing of it was is that their parent bank that loans the money, SBBT is the rail division of Pacific Capital Bank, which is a bank in Southern California who had a lot of money invested in California mortgages. And if anybody's turned on a TV in the last 2 years, they failed miserably. So Pacific Bank was very short on capital and obviously considering closing, going bankrupt. And that's the money, that we get, that the bank uses to fund our loans. So they were very restricted as far as taking new clients and what they could do and what was going on with that. And it was limiting their ability to function. And so they ended up going ahead and doing the sale now, so they have a bigger bank that is buying it. All the people are staying in place. All the salespeople, all the people I know are staying for this year. Nothing's going to change except for that they are now going to have enough money to fund our loans.
So I can get a rally on the 15th is what I think William's asking and probably
yeah.
what
so
I'd be asking too.
As far as business as usual is what Santa Barbara is telling me as of right now. The other thing that they are saying is that next year, which we could care less right now about 2011, right now we're trying to get to 2010, that they're going to have a lot of really cool products and a lot of progressive things that they're going to be able to do because of the sale. But as far as we are all concerned, everybody who has approval letters for Santa Barbara, business as usual on the 15th.
Cool. All right, let me get to the last question here, which is Frank from Soledad, which is, oh, Lynn, I'll let you do this question because I don't like answering this question because I'm afraid we're getting bugged on the phone. Competitors are using check stubs to process taxes last year. How do I keep people from going to competitors that do process stubs?
I tell people that it's illegal. I can show them on the website, on the IRS site, where you cannot do that. And just like anything else with tax returns, if you sign a tax return, you're responsible for it. So if your preparer lets you do it with a pay stub and they got looked at, you would get penalized as well as the preparer. It's your tax return. You signed it. So I try to put the fear of God or the fear of the IRS, whichever one that they're more afraid of, into clients to get them to not do this. One of the things that I got hit with last week, like the day before Christmas, a client called me, wanted me to know if I could do their, you know, check with a pay stub. And they said, well, we do it online with pay stubs. What's the policing agent if they're doing it online with a pay stub? If they have the EIN number, there is not one.
That's so, a good point.
Yeah, so it's like I try to scare people into doing the right legal thing, and now I find out that they can even do it online. So, again, you're at a disadvantage, but you can lose your license. You can lose your livelihood. They can be fined. And they
you can lose your banking relationship, which is probably even more important
even
than the IRS.
I would never do it. I mean, I don't do it. I won't do it. What I do for people, for William and for anybody else on this call, is I have people come in with their last pay stubs, and I do estimates for them. I put them in. I talk to them. I schmooze with them. I take up extra time and attention on my part this in the next 2 or 3 weeks because 90% of those people come back to me, and by giving them that extra time and attention that other people won't. And I did one yesterday. The lady's last year got $6,100. This year she's going to get $7,360-something. So it's like a $1,200 increase. And like Michael said, all of our clients are going to get more money this year. This is exactly what happened. This lady got the child tax credit that didn't in the past. So by telling her that now, like, you know, this is not exact because your W-2 may change on your pay stub, but I can tell you, you're going to have about $7,000 to spend this year. It's like, don't spend it until you get it, but at least you can plan what to do with it. And
you know
that
what?
Lady
just...
will be running back in my office.
Let me say one other thing, Frank, which is I tell my preparers this. Have the customer bring the pay stub in with them. None of those returns can be processed until January 15th. Don't file it with the last pay stub, but do everything else. Tell them, though, you can't send it officially to the IRS until you get their W-2. Tell them then to go online. A lot of them, if they work for like Walmart, if they work for the government, the hospitals, a lot of those have them online available that they can just download them, and you can get those W-2s by the 15th or a couple days later. It does make no difference if you process a return today in your computer system or on the 15th. They're going to get their money exactly at the same time. And, in fact, it doesn't even matter on a lot of them on the 15th because a lot of those people wind up with two-week checks. They're not going to see their money till the 29th. So as long as you can process by the 16th, 17th, 18th, 19th, I think you have till the 20th of January to get their W-2s. You're still home free on those people. Don't let them go somewhere else, but don't process with the pay stub. Make them bring the pay stub into you and let them know after they finish the whole process that you still need the W-2. Okay? That was my marketing tip of the day. Anyway, if you are interested in the pricing program, again, we'll have the demonstration and we'll have all this information up on the website probably by tomorrow. Send an email to info@taxmarketingforyou.com. We want to wish everybody a happy new year. If you have any questions, please make sure you send them to us. We're happy to answer as many as we can. And don't forget to get your orders in this weekend, okay?
Tonight, but tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow will be even better.
Please, fax us, email us. You got the fax number for Donna's office, the 304 number.
And those people who are interested in the scratch card, by the way, the pictures did change that I talked to you about having a woman instead of a man. I will get those to you probably tomorrow for everybody who's already sent in order forms to take a look at it and make sure that those are the ones that you want. Okay?
Good.
So I have updated them. They just haven't gone up on the website yet. All right, guys. Thank you very much, Jason and John. Thank you. I love this program.
Yep.
You guys are interested.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Send us an email. And we will be in touch. Next webinar will probably be in about 2 weeks. We'll send you an email. I'm sure you know. All
right, happy holidays.
Happy
holidays,
New Year.
Everybody. Yeah,
happy New Year,
Year
everybody. Have a great day.
Okay, take care.
You too.